This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon,
and this is the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Ah, this is In the Conversation.
Yes, yes, y'all.
What's going on? What's going on? We got Ali coming from Parts Unknown Studios.
I'm in the Acceler, what they call this, the Acceler Lounge.
Oh, in the quiet car.
I'm in the station. In
Boston. All right.
Well, they have, like, you know how they have, like, the Admiral's room for the for American Airlines. I guess Acceler got one.
Damn, you popping like that on Acceler?
Let's see, on the Acceler Lounge, got a conference room.
Damn, I know you was up on the Acceler wave too.
Hey, nah, this what you call this my urban survival skills.
Oh, okay. Meaning what, you loitering? And doing the podcast?
I figured out, you know, I was trying to figure out a quiet place to do the podcast.
Okay.
So I'm in Boston. I don't really know the city like that.
Okay.
I'm about to get on the train to come back home, but I hadn't booked my train yet. So it was like, you know, I got to the station. I was like, how can I do this? And I looked up and I saw the Acceler Lounge.
Mm.
So I went in and asked what was the run-ins, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So basically, you know, you have a Acceler ticket, but all the Acceler trains are gone already. So,
okay.
Or you could buy a day pass.
Oh, all right.
And then the day pass was $20, which was cool. You know what I'm saying? Then I get in, I asked, did they have a room that was quiet that I could do a call in? And they were like, yep.
Uh-huh.
Got the key. That's walked me in. Got my own space. It's all good.
That just sounds
official. In the conversation.
Now, that's the whole day for $20?
Yeah, until you train. I don't know if you just hang around the train station all day.
This is the new WeWork hack. All right, what's up? So what's the amenities looking like? They give you something to eat? Any free drinks?
You get free soft drinks. Mm. Something weird about the Boston train station, you can only buy drinks from the bar. Now, you know how like Penn Station, you can buy drinks from the regular store?
Right.
You can't do that here. So they don't have any... drinks, just soft drinks and like snacks, like shit you'll get on the plane.
Oh, all right. That's what's up. That's cool.
Ain't nothing special, but it gives you a quiet room to be in the conversation.
There it is.
What up, people?
Oh, shit. Well, we'll give them a second just to get that subscribing on. Hold on. Let them hit that button. There you go.
Okay. Great.
Up in Boston, huh? Can you talk about it or no?
Oh, yeah, Boston, I was here actually today with the NBA Players Association, continuing a series that we've been doing called Everyday Dad. We shot some in New Orleans a while back in All-Star last year. They did some stuff in L.A. this year, All-Star, and then we're here in Boston with a men's group, basically men coming together to help each other be better fathers, you know what I'm saying? A lot of them are coming home from jail.
Mm-hmm.
And so we basically come in and kind of capture the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll cut it down into a piece that, you know, can go out to the Everyday Dad page. And you go to every NBA Players Association.com/Everyday Dad. So it's NBAPA.
Mm-hmm.
Everyday Dad. You can go to it. You'll see all the videos and stuff. So we're just continuing that, man. But it's always cool when you're in the middle of those conversations because, one, you learn from other guys what guys are going through. It's like some things you take for granted. It's like,
right.
Well, I figured that out, but it seemed like I figured it out late or I haven't figured this part out because my kids haven't gotten to that level yet. I'm not sure how that's going to look when they get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So when you hear other people go through stuff, you know, you could start adding it to your little repository of parental information, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the main things is that, you know, as a parent, you never stop learning, you know.
Right.
And it's one thing that you know, no matter what color or whatever, religion or whatever, I found that when we started going to school with other parents like that, mm-hmm. like as a parent, your first time putting your kids in school, and then it's like all these older or white parents or, you know, just other, not black.
Right.
And then, you know, you have a few black, but you already feel like y'all know what it is. You know,
right.
So you already know black parenting.
Right.
But then when you start to see what white parents are going through, it'd be the same shit. You know what I'm saying? So they be having different solutions. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you'll run your solution down. They was like, you know, that is brilliant.
Really?
Like, nah, that's just regular. Like,
that's funny.
You got, you know what I'm saying? But it's one of the things that kind of takes a lot of the edge off the table when you know, I think that's why Chris Rock is successful a lot with across different audiences, because a lot of times he talks about parenting and things that, you know, that everybody can get behind.
Yeah,
you know,
broad.
No matter what, you know what I'm saying? Your baby came out one or two or three ways, you know what I'm saying? It came out, it motherfucking cried, you had to feed it, you know? It's no matter what color that you go through that same initiation. So,
came out one of three ways. Wait, what's the
one of? I mean, you know, you either came out naturally, you get C-section.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know.
I'm trying to figure that out. I was like, both me and Matt was trying to figure out this fucking brain riddle.
Yeah, you came out.
I was trying to figure out if there's only three races that I should know of.
Yeah,
nah. It's, you know, you came out your mama, basically.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was a gender thing. I was like,
nah.
All right. Well, that's what's up. So what jewels did you learn from the Everyday Dad Conference?
Jewels that I learned.
Everyday Dad. Why the fuck? First of all, hold on, man. Everyday Dad sound. It's cool. It's cool. I don't know how sexy that shit. Like, women always get the sexiest shit. Everyday Dad is cool. Sounds functional.
Yeah, but see, sometimes when it comes down to certain issues,
uh-huh.
it can't be. It don't
too
have to
sexy.
Be cool, because sometimes it has to just emanate the point. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Basically, Everyday Dad is, you know, basically participating every day.
Right.
You're talking about guys who have been away, or, you know what I'm saying, some way different franchise, or
right.
you know what
okay.
I'm saying. You know, it's different things that take you away from doing that job sometimes in life. So I think Everyday Dad speaks to the get right down to the basis of it. You know
right.
what I mean? So I don't feel like something like that had to be sexy. Like,
nah, no, I'm just saying it could have. Shout out to my man Premium Pete. He got this thing called Presence Over Presence, which is kind of similar in the way of fathers being there for their kids, you know what I mean, and like being in the lives and shit like that. But go ahead, tell me what gem did you learn from the Everyday Dad Conference?
Oh man, the gem. What was the gem? I mean, I don't know if it was a single gem. You know what I mean? I think what it was is that it's some things that hit home,
right?
Because, you know, a lot of guys were saying, you know, they grew up without their father and stuff
right.
like that. Me, I grew up with my father for the most part, you know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? I in and out with my mother, you know
right.
what I'm saying? I spent most of my years with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
My mom moved to Georgia. So, you know, so I could understand, like, when you only had a one parent and you start adding stuff to your repository that you're not going to let your kids, you know what I'm saying? You like, you know what I'm saying? No matter what, I'm not going to do this, or,
right.
you know, man, my kids ain't going to never have to be without me unless I'm dead, you know, shit like that, just from your own experience. So when you hear other people and they talking about, you know, why they add things to their philosophy, you know, some of the things you could feel, like, sometimes you don't think about it, but it's like, I don't think about not being there for my kids. But at the same time, it's like, once they start addressing, you know, their problems or the father's problems, why they couldn't be in their life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You realize sometimes that life takes you into places where you don't want to be. And sometimes I may end up in those kind of places.
Mm-hmm.
But even like when they was like, you know, spending time, you know what I'm saying? One guy was like, you know, I don't have the money, but, you know, I'm there every day. The other guy was like, you know, I come, I bring the Jordans, but then my kids act like they don't even see me. You know what I'm saying? They'll see the gift, but don't see me.
Right.
And then as a a father that's there every day, you know what I'm saying, my kid's life, you get a little bit of both, you know, because sometimes you do stuff for your kids you think is real special and they treat it like, eh, it's regular, you know what I mean? And then sometimes you really got to grind, but then you got to pick your daughter up from school, you know what I mean? So it's like you have to figure out a balance. And when you're hearing those types of things in those places, you start to realize certain things about yourself. And no matter, for me, I don't care how broke I get, how fucked up I get, or, you know what I'm saying, how much on the ground I get, I'm never going to just dip away and say, you know what, I'll be back once I get the bag, or, you know what I'm saying, I get back once I get my shit together. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it's just a similar thing. It's like what my mother said, you know, she was going to get herself together, but as an adult now, you realize those years getting yourself together go fast, you know. It could be 5-6 years real quick, you know what I mean? And you still haven't made significant progress. So, but 5-6 years in a kid life, that's a long-ass time, you know what I'm saying? You leave that motherfucker 12 years old, you come back, they grown. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things when you're looking at somebody in real time trying to negotiate that, and then you look at yourself and try to figure out, am I even still that I'm there every day, am I doing the best that I can be doing? As in terms of giving them enrichment to fill up their childhood with, you know? So even, you know what I'm saying, if I don't feel like I'm having problems or nothing like that, just listening to those types of conversations, especially when you have to tape them and be real present and actually shooting it. You know, that stuff, it sinks in and it starts to, you start to evaluate how you making your moves. So I think that was more than anything, it was more of a, you know, looking at them, looking at myself, and where do I fit in my own equation to what I expect of myself as a parent.
That's what's up. That's good. All right. Well, glad you. that's good to hear, you know. Glad you got. Matt, you got anything to say about that? Don't say nothing if you ain't got nothing to say. That's all right. Good. He ain't got nothing to say. Speaking of which, there's it don't matter. So that's dope. Everyday dad. Everyday dad. Shout out to the dads out there that are there every day that are really doing the dad shit.
Right. But it started off really as a thing with the NBA players and their fathers. That's the first five were like that. And then when we did the one in New Orleans, it broke off into real, real guys who are in the communities and try to broaden the conversation.
It's dope that there seems to be some brotherhood out there amongst the fathers. You know, like I see there's a community amongst fathers that and it's good to see guys supporting other guys or some, yo, let's discuss this shit. You know what I mean? Because I feel like sometimes a lot of cats don't always discuss where they coming up short or if they got any problems and shit. Oftentimes, a lot of men are like reluctant to be vulnerable around another cat. You know what I mean?
Right.
So when you see that type of shit, to like what you said, you know, it obviously crosses all racial lines and all other boundaries and things like that. There's a common thing. There's a common duty that y'all all share. So that's kind of cool, man, that they're out there. So
right. And you know, the thing is, there's a lot of common fears as well, you know?
Yeah.
So, and those are the things you're not really talking about. Like, I don't go around, I don't talk to nobody about my fears as a parent, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not in a group. So to be in the group listening, not really participating, you get to do, like I said, that cross evaluation. Yeah. Like, all right, other cats, we going through the same shit.
Okay. Yeah. That's when you see the motherfucker go to the side. Facts. Facts. Niggas love doing facts. Big old facts. All right, take it easy. We get it. You agree. Anyway. Oh shit.
So that's what's good too, man.
What's good with me, man? I'm enjoying this little break of weather. For how long it lasts. Enjoying this break of weather. My fucking AC is broken. and the whip, so I got to figure that out. I don't understand how that happened. But yeah, that's got to change.
Like a recall.
Yeah, something. But you know, what else?
New whip.
Yeah. What else is going on, man? I'm living life, B. Comedy Knockout is coming back on the 2nd, next Wednesday. So we ramp it up for that. I was up at the True office today doing some drops for the little sponsors. Not the little sponsor, for the sponsors that have stepped up and or thrown some money at the show. Shout out to y'all. Mm-hmm. So we did a little bit of that. And then just running around, man. I was getting ready for this. The fuck did I do this weekend? I kicked it. You know, I was at the crib
a
little bit.
What you do for
420? Oh, 420, man. And it's so funny. 420, I kicked it. I went to a little day party. My man Adriel threw. Shout out to Adriel. I was thinking about having him up here. We got to have him up here. I've been saying this shit for a minute. But
so you went to a day party on a Friday?
On a Friday.
These motherfuckers really took off.
What you mean?
They took off from work. They
I guess. Yeah, I guess. You know what's so funny? It's been so long since I've been, like, in that game that I was like, I guess everybody got it off. I guess this is how progressive the U.S. has gotten. It's to the point where motherfuckers just, it's so funny, like, how the shift in marijuana and how it's perceived has changed so drastically over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it is like 420. People are openly told, oh yeah, I'm going to, you tell your HR director, yeah, I'll be at the 420 to party tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, motherfuckers is flagrant on 420. But it was cool, man. It was a Privilege and Lafayette at the Privilege store downtown Lower East Side. It was a dope situation. Jadakiss performed. Get Live DJ'd, Cast One DJ'd. It was popping. You know what I mean? It was good situation. You know.
What's Privilege? That's a store?
Privilege is a clothing line. It's a clothing line that once they started in Japan, but they started in Japan, but they have at least one store out here. I don't know if the New York is the flagship. I think Japan was the flagship, but you know. Shout out to Teddy King and my man Adriel and all them cats over there. You know what I mean? They do some good shit over there. You should check it out.
Yeah, I'm on their site now looking at it.
Yeah, So so it was cool. It was a nice little you know, situation. Little jump off. It was the thing about the day party is I could have came a little later. You know what I mean? That's the thing. You gotta know when you know what I mean? Don't get to the day party too early. You know what I'm saying?
You gotta know your day part.
Right, because the shit ain't really start cracking for a couple hours, so you just sitting there, you know, standing around waiting. It was cool. I mean, obviously, it's a 420 party, so there's all types of shit in the world. But, you know, it's still, you know. Hot, you know, yeah, 420 small talk gets a little bit more expansive than it should. You know, it gets a little bit more expansive than it should. It's like, hey, come on now.
Everybody conversating.
Everybody going for it.
Ticket.
Yeah. It was cool, though. You know what I'm saying? Good time, though. It's good time. So I did that shit. What the fuck else did I do, man? I was in the world a little bit. You don't watch Barry, so I can't really fuck with you on Barry.
Shit, you know.
Do you watch Barry?
I watched the one episode. Okay. We talked about it.
Barry's good.
I haven't really had no time, man.
Right.
Fuck with
right.
None of that. I watch Atlanta because it's 30 minutes. You can get it in real quick and be on about your way.
Right. Did you see the last one?
I haven't caught up on no Barry. Huh?
You seen the last episode of Atlanta?
Oh, yeah. I seen all
that. That shit was good. Shit was really good. I like that one a lot.
They've been doing their thing, man. Yeah. I fucks with the thought process, man.
Yeah. But, what you laughing about?
I was just laughing at that show, man. This nigga out there in the woods.
Yeah.
Stuck out there with itself, really.
Yeah, it was a hell of a metaphor. You know what I mean? Like, they say obsession is not action. You got to do something. Either going to keep it real or you going to level up. You can't play it both
can't
sides.
Fear.
Yeah.
I done had that voice in my head before.
Yeah.
Same voice, saying pretty much the same shit.
Nah, this shit is, Atlanta definitely lays out a lot of good hood anxiety. You know what I mean? They definitely put it out there. So, yeah, that was a good-ass episode, though. I like that shit a lot.
Yeah. So I was in D.C. for 420. Well, during 420, I wasn't there for 420.
Okay.
So homie of mine had tickets to the Dead Prez and Black Star concert. I guess it was a Black Star concert, but Dead Prez went to Fan U.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was a Dead Prez show for us.
Hilarious.
But it was in this new venue, mm-hmm. which is just kind of it was built up, kind of felt like an arena, but it was a performance venue, which looked like it
was the National Museum of African American Arts and Culture.
No,
that's a black ass double bell right there. They could have did it there. That shit is something.
Yeah, they could have. Nah, this was at some new joint on the wharf or whatever.
Okay,
on the water.
All right.
Brand new development.
Dead Prez on the wharf. All right, we getting older. You know,
it was a nice
I'm
thing.
I'm sure that shit was popping.
They need to change their floors, though. That concrete, ooh, ain't good for your knees.
Damn. Knee talk. That's a whole nother podcast.
Hey, that shit was rough.
This shit is crazy. Yeah, that's weird. I guess it's outside, though, huh?
No, it's inside. It's inside. It's built up like a, it's a big-ass venue built up like an arena.
Uh-huh.
And then it has, like, these different layers of balconies, like... Uh-huh. What's that joint in New York? It was called not Hangar, but some shit like that.
Terminal 5?
Yeah, Terminal 5.
Right.
It's kind of built up like that, except wider.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Where you got the different levels and shit like that.
Uh-huh.
So it's something like that. But, you know, I realized I was in this show.
Uh-huh.
And, you know what I'm saying? I'm going into the show, I felt like I was a moderate fan of Dead Prez.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying, I really like Mos Def, and then I was a moderate friend of
Kweli.
Of Black Star.
Okay.
But then after during the show, I was like, I heard some Dead Prez songs that I never heard. I'm like, oh, that shit is bomb.
Right.
And then, you know what I'm saying, what's made me want to go revisit some of that shit.
Right.
And then in the Black Star segment, I heard like I realized that I wasn't as much of a fan as I thought I was because I didn't know half the songs. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
It's only
you know,
one album.
Some shit, and you know how the shit be bumping so hard that
right.
you can't really distinguish what is really going on.
Too much bass,
you know,
and concrete. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like that. So it was like, man, I don't even know these records, man. I thought I knew who it was. I think they was doing some. I think they was doing some solo records too, and
probably
tossed in there. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, man, half that shit, I didn't even know what the hell they were singing.
But,
you know what I'm saying? Most do his thing, you know what I'm saying?
So Most did a solo set and then did a Black Star? Did they both do solo? Like, did Kweli do a solo?
Nah,
or they just did their shit together?
No, they did their shit together. Then I think it was maybe one or two Mos Def songs.
Okay.
And then one or two Kweli songs.
Okay.
The weirdest part about the whole show, which I enjoyed, even though I didn't know half the joints, I enjoyed the show and I love the energy that they brought and the crowd. You know, the crowd was definitely there for them.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing was that, you know how Stick, he got the RBG Fit Club, went to healthy living and stuff that he does with his wife. And then I guess M1, he has some stuff that he does with his wife.
Right.
So it was one point in the show where Stick was like, yep, you know what I'm saying? I go to that RGB Fit Club, you know what I'm saying, get involved, blah, 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 blah. And then it felt like the show should have started back. Then M was like, well, shit, where my wife at? Let me call her out here and promote our shit. Mm-hmm. So he took about 5 minutes to promote their shit. But it felt like a dueling ad moment. Like,
mm-hmm.
y'all
so I got a sponsor too, nigga. Yeah. Hilarious.
I'm like, y'all got to get this together. Y'all, I know y'all don't live in the same space no more, and y'all don't really perform a lot together. But
are they cool?
They have to. I mean, obviously they cool.
Nah, is it though?
Stage. I mean, I don't know. They cool enough to go get that money together.
Okay.
At least. But I'm not saying, I don't know if there's any type of real.
Right.
I just know they both live in different places and they grown.
Right.
You
no, I hear that. Because I'm not even saying specific to that, but I've been noticing, we're going to go right back to that story, but I've been noticing mm-hmm. a lot of our groups that we grew up loving as groups They still mm-hmm. perform together, but they don't rock with each other. And right. it is sad when you hear that, you know? Right.
But, I mean, at the same time, I hear the same thing about the Migos. And they just getting out the gate.
I didn't hear that. Is this the speculation report? Are we back with this?
It's very speculative.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I can't even quote whoever I heard it from. I just heard that they wasn't rocking with each other. I heard they were getting like three private planes to fly separately.
Wow. That's a lot of fucking money. Just when I thought the Migos couldn't do any more over-the-top spending. Them motherfuckers' consumption be conspicuous to the motherfucker. They got three, each plane got a big-ass chain on it. Shout out to the Migos, man.
Hey, man, you know, you got to get it, man. As long as that income coming, man.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, man.
Do what they do. But it's funny, like, speaking of these artists and stuff, like, I was listening. I wasn't really listening to the J. Cole album, but I was hearing the J. Cole album.
Shit!
No, what? It's not no beef. I didn't really sit down and listen to it yet.
All right.
But everywhere I went, I kind of heard bits and pieces. That's,
okay,
that's all
right, it was
saying.
Around. I hear what you said. Yeah. Okay, all right. Made it sound like you was trying to avoid that shit.
No, I was trying.
Next thing you know, this motherfucker in the Excella Lounge next to me.
No. With J. Cole, I'm gonna tell you like this. I'm being honest. I didn't really buy into J. Cole in the beginning.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But what happened was that, you know, I was looking at his image and I was looking at how he was going about it.
Right.
And I understood he had his fans and he had the core group. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it just seemed so. What he was doing was so plain at the time.
Right.
When you had other cats coming out like Drake at the time.
Right.
You know, everything was a bit more shiny and polished, and he was coming out so plain. But what happened is every time I would be like, J. Cole, whatever, and then I hear a song, I'm like, who is that? Oh, that's J. Cole.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's dope. You know what I'm saying? And that shit happened maybe 6-7 songs in a row over the course of the first two projects. I was like, man, let me give this motherfucker a chance, man, because everything that I hear that I like that's just in the air, it be him.
Mm.
So, you know, I went on ahead and gave J. Cole his props, man. I can't jump out here and say I was a day one fan, but you know what I'm saying? I like what he doing.
Yeah. I feel you on that. I think I'm the same way with that. Like, he definitely was way more humble than your average rapper. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, even still, like, the no haircut on the bus. You know what I'm saying? He would talk about Sally Mae a lot, which was cool at first. At first, I felt like I always have this theory that you got a little bit of time for people to respect your level up, where you could still be humble and still be exciting to the people. And at some point, unfortunately, you kind of got to stunt on motherfuckers just so they know. It's unfortunate.
That's what they said in Atlanta.
Absolutely, but it seems like that is the fucking truth, or the certain, that's the sad truth. And I'm trying to stop saying niggas because I would have fully, you know what I mean. But again, I just said it. But so for a while, but then you would see J. Cole selling out here and selling out there, and talking all of this humble talk. And you're like, wait a minute now,
right?
You can't just keep, you know what I mean? Like, wait a minute now, you can't. Again, it goes back to Paperboy. Can't be just the prophet of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I guess you can. He's kind of that guy. He's the responsible man's rapper. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a few responsible rappers. First of all, for J. Cole to even put an album out like that on 420 is super counterculture anyway. Because motherfuckers is blowing it down, and obviously that might be low on the totem pole of addiction, but it has its grasp. You know what I'm saying? And niggas don't want to hear that shit sometimes. It's like he got responsible shit, but it's also, he's always, you know, I used to call him the Tim Duncan of hip-hop in the way it's fundamentals. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It might not be the most exciting thing. Them niggas will get to the chip. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They'll get rings. They always going to give you some competition. They always going to do what they need to do, but it ain't the shit that you like, nigga, I can't wait to go get a Tim Duncan jersey. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I like the album. I like the album, but then it's funny. I like the album. I was excited about the album. You're saying some shit. I love the 1985 shit where he go in on Lil Pump. And I'm getting older to the point where I had to research who he was talking about because out the loop.
I just thought he had all those young niggas in one loop.
Right.
I didn't know it was a specific one.
Right. I was like, oh, okay, let me see who this is. Okie doke. And I liked it, but then I was out with my lady, and I was like, let me let her hear this J. Cole. I was saying, yo, the J. Cole shit popping. And I put it on, and it's a different type of vibe. It takes a minute to like kind of build a bit. It come on a little sleepy, a little introspective. You know what I'm saying? A little bit of singing. You know what I mean? Like it don't hit you with the boom bow until a little later on in the shit. So it's hard. It's kind of for me, it was a hard album to be like, yo, you know what I mean? Put your ears to this. You know what I mean?
Right.
But overall, it's dope. He definitely got some food for thought. Always.
Right. And I'm sure them young cats listening, you know what I'm saying? They probably ain't going to like it. But, you know, he's still young enough to speak to them in a way that they might take it. Because, you know, what he talks about on that's the 1985 album record where he talks about saving your money and putting your shit up. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They might take heed, you know what I mean?
They might
feel, you know?
They
might not be as reckless as the previous generation of hip hop splurgers.
Right. You know. He might be the Dave Ramsey of hip hop. Very, you know what I mean? Very cautious.
I mean, and like who said? I guess they said Kevin Durant said it was needed, a much needed album. I mean, it's good to have that variety in hip hop again. You know what I'm saying? To have, okay, this is the pack of cats who on their, you know what I'm saying, introspective shit, you know, philosophical shit.
Right.
Then you got the club cats, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can go listen. Yeah, I mean, you have a wide range. Like even back in the day, you had a wide range. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like people would call it the golden era. And it wasn't that all hip hop was the best hip hop. Or the most introspective or smart or, you know, thoughtful. It's just you had a range. You had Tribe and then you had Luke. Then you had NWA. Then you had Ghetto Boys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just a range of things people were saying. It wasn't just everybody saying the same shit.
Which you still got. You know, you listen to Migos on your way to the club. You might listen to J. Cole on your way back. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like when you want to kind of do the right thing. You know what I mean? Like, let me chill. No, and that's no shot at all. See, that's the thing about, I guess, the culture, especially hip-hop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Growing old gracefully, leveling up, whatever you want to call it, evolution, right?
Because
it's like you get this taste for bullshit, right? You grow up on, I don't want to say you grow up on a lot of McDonald's, but there's a lot of bullshit in the diet to the point where you got a taste for it. You know what I'm saying? And then when you have some healthy shit, it might not all the way, you know, it's good for you. You know it's good for you, but it don't make the chew anymore, you know, any better. You know what I'm saying? And then there's certain people that know how to, they could play it a little bit on each side. They're going to give you a little bit of food, a little bit of gem, but they're going to hide it in the candy. You know what I'm saying? I think Cole's pretty good at that. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he's super, super, super duper preachy. I think he's still in touch. I think he's got some. I think you got to have a bit of empathy for artists. And I think that's what I appreciated about that one record, that 1985 record. I like the fact that he was going in on Lil Pump, but he kind of, you know, he was like, but you know what? When I was young, I was on that same shit. And I like that he was going in on him, talking about all that shit. But then that beat was so like Diamond D. Like it was a, that's probably my favorite record on there. That and there's another record on there that's kind of cool too. That like
I need to go ahead and sit down with it. I'll probably do that on the way home.
Yeah,
just download that on the title and see what it do.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. But like you said, you listen to Migos on the way to the club and then J. Cole on the way home. It's something like originally when I first got into the Migos, right?
Right.
I was liking the shit that they were saying about being independent and, you know what I'm saying, putting out their shit and staying putting out music and coming up with styles. I was more into them about that they were so independent and but still had that, like, they sound like, you know what I'm saying, like some ignorant rappers. But right. then when you really listen to some of the shit they be saying, you be like, oh, these niggas is kind of thinking. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's not like, you know, I'm not, no, they make some club bangers and it don't be about much. But if you listen to the, like in hip hop, you know what I'm saying, there were guys who gave a society message. There were guys who gave an entrepreneurial message. You know what I'm saying? Like Too Short might not win no awards for being nobody's best rapper.
Right.
But he was the first one talking about being in the trunk and selling the tapes out the trunk. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And being young, black, and independent. You know what I mean? So it was cats doing it, but he made it a point on all of his records, like all on his albums, mm-hmm. he always had a record just about being independent and putting out his own shit.
Right.
Which made him, you know what I'm saying, he was, I don't know, who would be, he was the Gary Vee, you know what right. I mean, of hip-hop at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, sometimes the message is buried in there. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying, when you of the culture and you listen through, some cats who sound like they ain't saying nothing is giving you something.
Right, absolutely. I believe that. Speaking of some cats that be saying all types of shit and giving you whatever, I mean, your man Kanye has got people a little upset because he's, I mean, I don't know. Some people are going crazy. They think Kanye might be a conservative. Kanye might be a Trump supporter. Kanye might, what else? It's a traitor. You know what I mean?
Traitor from what?
Well, there's a lot of shit. Like, Kanye, first of all, he broke his social media silence maybe this week mm-hmm. or last week, and right. Which means there's an album coming. It's an album coming June 1st. Wait, which is cool. I appreciate.
Like, which means.
But you know what? That's typically what it is. You know what I mean? Okay. When he gonna come back, he got some shit to deliver. I'm not right. even mad at that shit. I don't need to hear just mundane tweets from a motherfucker that, you know what I mean, just to you know, to keep it radio, some from being radio silent or whatever. But so he got an album coming out June 1st. Got another album with him and Kid Cudi on June 8th. He got Pusha T's album coming out on May 25th. He's got Teyana Taylor coming out on the 26th. And then he's also, I believe he executive produced or he produced a bunch of this Nas album that's coming out in July. So
oh, wow.
It's a lot of shit going on. It's about to be mm-hmm. Kanye season. And the pre-teaser was like, yo, Kanye's in his old school polo Kanye bag. He's back to vintage Kanye. We miss the old Kanye. So he's back on that type of sonic or aesthetic or whatever. So that was something cool to hear. You know what I mean? I always look forward to whatever Kanye, because I like the fact that he's going to do some different shit either time. You know, every time. He's going to do something different or take you somewhere where you least expected it or whatever. And more often than not, it's dope. More often than not, it's a solid album, if not a great album, right?
Right.
And over maybe the last two albums at least, you know, Kanye be saying some wild shit. You know, this is when he started, you know, he's been married, he's been with the Kardashians, he's out in Calabasas, mm-hmm. he's, you know, he was going through his whole fashion shit. Like, he was doing a lot of other shit. It wasn't just music-related shit. And I think when people started to see more Kanye, it was like, I don't know if I like all of Kanye. You know what I mean? I like the music, but I don't know if I like all of Kanye, right? So now there's talk that he's problematic, that, you know, things of that nature. And me, I've always been one of these people that, I don't want to say exclusively, but I don't expect a whole lot from my artists, music artists, or, you know, some of these public figures that aren't in the political or activism space. Like, if you jump in it and you put yourself out there, or if you have takes on stuff, I'm cool with it, you know what I mean? But I don't really expect it from everybody. If it's if it's something that you do, it's appreciated, especially if you were ally, you know, in the fight, whatever fight that is at the moment. You know what I mean? It's appreciated. But at the same time, if an artist says some shit politically that I might not agree with, I'm not all, depending on what it is, I'm not one of these people that all the way needs to just cancel the artist. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, it could be a conditional relationship. As long as the music's dope, I'm a listen. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's like a sports team. As long as the Knicks are popping, I'm a fan. Right. You know what I mean? What do you think? Right.
I think, man, at the end of the day, man, these people are human. You're not going to agree with all these motherfuckers' opinions and thoughts. A lot of times they are in a whole nother tax bracket league than you are. You know what I mean? Like you said, Kanye lives in Calabasas with, you know what I'm saying, the Kardashian clan and right. other rich, rich, rich people right. on top of a hill.
With a white family.
With a white family, per se. And
Well, that like brought him in, not his own right. family.
Right.
Well, you know what I'm saying? But like that seems to be his new family unit.
Exactly. That's his family unit. So he's not your guy that you know what I'm saying, go to school with down the street and hang out, even though you don't agree with them either. So a lot of times, you know, if an artist is stepping out, saying some stuff, you know what I'm saying, that's good for them and you're good for wherever they're trying to go, you know what I mean? You can't hold nobody back from saying what they want. But I don't have to participate in all that shit, you know what I mean? I don't have to participate. I might like Kanye music. I might like Kanye's other production. I might like, you know, what the other Kanye's it is.
There's the fashion.
You know what I'm saying? I got philosophy Kanye. I might dig some of the stuff he say.
You know?
But I'm not finna wear no beige ass Yeezy season shit. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I might get the sneakers. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not finna wear none of that fashion shit.
Right.
But I don't hate him for it. I just, you know what I'm saying? That is, hey, I don't need that from him. You know what I'm saying? As much as I didn't need Sean John from Puffy, except for the little sweatsuits was popping, though. I like that shit. I don't need Ciroc from Puffy, but, right. you know, if it's going down, everybody love it. I ain't finna hate on that shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That shit got him all the way up in the bag. So, you know, you can't be mad at somebody for expanding, you know?
And it's like
telling LeBron down to stick to playing basketball. That's not fair.
Right.
But, you know what I'm saying? But there's some people who don't want to see nothing else but the niggas playing basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. These people are not beholden to you. They are independent right. of you. You know what I mean? It's kind of interesting. I mean, yeah.
And then when I really look at it, though, it's like it's some things that you just like in life. Like, oh, I really like this and I really like that. And I like this car and I like this particular piece of clothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love designs of this particular clothing designer. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times you wear those names bright and proud, and you don't know the politics of that person, or you don't know the lifestyle of that person. It's cats who out here saying all kind of homophobic shit,
right.
draped in all, you know what I'm saying, gear designed by, you know what I'm saying, homosexual guys. You right. know what I mean? So it just goes to show that a lot of times the two don't necessarily travel together.
Right.
And if you're going to do all the research on everything you do, then you might find some shit you don't like about some shit that you love.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If you listen to R. Kelly, I Believe I Could Fly, for the first time and heard that shit, and you're like, oh, I really love that shit. And then you find out it was R. Kelly and he pee on the kids and shit, you know, you might not listen to it. You might not go buy no more of his shit, but that ain't going to take away the fact that you love I Believe I Could Fly.
Right.
When they sang it in church.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, it's so funny, man. I found myself this weekend. I wanted to watch LA Confidential, right? And mm-hmm. Kevin Spacey's in there. He's got his whole accusations going on mm-hmm. and shit. And that shit had a 99 on Rotten Tomatoes. And I've never seen it before. But I decided against it because everybody didn't really want to fuck with it. You know what I mean? Nobody mm-hmm. really wanted to all the way support it. So I guess mm-hmm. It's interesting when things like that happen. You know what I mean? Like, because it's still a moment. Every time, like, R. Kelly, Step in the Name of Love, come on, or any of these old joints that he got, you're like, oh, this was that shit. And then you feel a wave come over the room and there's this little bit of judgment or whatever, and it's like, ah.
Depending on the room.
Asterisk. Yeah, depending on the room. That's true.
I've seen rooms where that shit did not even, nobody stopped for any type of dissertation or conversation. It was going down. So, you know, I mean, it's crazy because you will hear shit like that, and then you'll play, you know, you play a biggie. You play a song that say some shit that you like, damn, I don't agree with that.
Right.
But I'm going to just not agree with that line.
Yeah. When Nas first came out, I went to hell for snuffing Jesus. First of all, I'm surprised I just said that right now. I didn't hate it, that line. Like, it was the illest line, but it was like, yo, that's blasphemy. That's going crazy. But at the same time, it was like, that's what made it so electric. He was like, oh, this motherfucker is ill and dangerous. He on some wild shit. It's crazy, but yeah, it happens. You're like, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, it's some songs you love right now that got a line in it that be like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm saying? That's always been the case.
Yeah, man, for shit.
Oh, shit. Meek Mill is free? Oh, go ahead, Pop. I said,
Nah. I was about to say, like, much as, you know, Cardi B is the wave and shit.
Yeah.
Every time that line, when she's like, I fuck him, then I get some money.
Right.
Come on, my daughter in the car. Like,
Wait. The explicit is on in the car? Y'all go explicit?
It's like, even when it's on the radio, like, even though they bleep it out, I think, you know what I'm saying, she's heard enough cuss words to kind of put this shit together.
Of course, context. But let me ask you this, Everyday Father, real quick, flat. Where you stand on explicit lyrics? Was there an age where you like, you let it fly? Like, how you screen that?
I've been saying explicit lyrics out my face all their life.
True. So. But, you know, you're the father.
Right. But the thing is, it's like, I don't hide them. I don't hide shit like that from them. You know what I'm saying? It's like, there's a certain age where they're not even interested in that kind of music. So, and then it comes a point where, okay, now my daughter's 10, you know what I'm saying? She's starting to pay attention to the songs that's on the radio now,
mm-hmm.
you know? And like I said, certain songs where it go in, it's kind of almost disrespectful to my ears.
Mm-hmm.
I go ahead and cut that shit off, you know what I'm saying? In spaces where what's said can be talked about in a discussion, we talk it out, you know? But I'm not that guy, be like, you're not going to ever hear this type of lyric because you might play and you might hear it somewhere else. You might be somewhere else enjoying the fuck out of that shit.
Mm.
And then come home and be like, I don't do that. And you play along. And then you create this thing where you feel like the outside world can teach you more than what your parents can. When it comes to any of that shit, like, lyrics and what they saying, you know what I'm saying? I feel I got a lot of knowledge to help, you know, bridge them away from that type of lifestyle or, you know what I'm saying, at least give them a proper perception of what's going on from both sides of the game that, you know, I'm open for that discussion. I don't want that discussion to be just had in their head and on the street. So, you know, I bring it in, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes it fits. Sometimes a rapper will say some shit like my grandma would say. I'd be like, my grandma, she used to say the same shit.
What'd your grandmother say that a rapper used to say?
I can't think of those. She's like, I don't know. It's just a different shit, man. I can't think of one right now, but, like, you know, like, shit. I don't know.
Nah, don't worry about it.
I had to come up with that, you know what I'm saying? But when they hit, like, sometimes when it hit in real life, you're like, oh, shit, that's some shit my grandma used to
say. That shit is real.
Or, like, even when it comes to, like, smoking weed, my grandma smoked weed every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like you said, in a time where that shit wasn't 420 friendly,
right? Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was just, shit, she got her herbs, and that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to smoke her reefer, and that's what it is.
And that's what it's going to be. You want to talk about this Waffle House situation? Waffle House situations?
Waffle House is having a rough time these days. It's a, you know,
it's a, you know, it's a shame because, you know, that's part of the culture to a certain degree.
It is.
When you're in certain towns and you after the club, you know,
right.
one few things that are open. So it's just an attack on the Waffle House brand, even though it ain't no good for your food.
Right.
It is, you know, said somewhere to loiter and have a good time after the good time.
Right.
Soak up some of that liquor. And if they're going to start, I think Waffle House can have their own news network. You know what I'm saying? If they're going to start covering the shit that happens at a Waffle House.
Yeah, that's you know true. That's his own world star.
That's his own world star. Like, you know what I'm saying? For a motherfucker to come and shoot the shit up, that's like an attack on the whole fucking culture. Like, come on, dude. Like, what the fuck?
And he came in butt-ass naked with, or just damn near all the way naked with an AR.
With a coat on, with a jacket on.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Shoots up the spot. Then he has a quick thinking, you know what I'm saying? Come in and lay him down. And that's one of the things where, like, you might hear, like when something like that happens, you're like, man, how all them people there, and they let one dude come in there and just shoot up the joint?
Right.
And all them people died?
Right.
Nobody did nothing?
Right.
This one of them situations where somebody did something.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Like, today ain't the day.
Nah, not here, not at the Waffle House. Now, I wonder if they had, you know, again, like you said, the Waffle House is definitely the after club, used to be the after club spot, you know, the post game situation where you definitely soak up that alcohol and you got that alcohol still coursing through you.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this man's heroicism was triggered by alcohol, or was he just that? Was it liquid courage, or was it a mother? Man. You know what I mean? Not to undermine it. I'm just looking at the context clues.
Yeah, I think like this, dog. Yeah, you might have some liquor in your system or whatever, but when you in them life or death moments like that, all that shit kind of snap out. You kind of snap out of it to a certain degree, and you at that point, like when you hear his interview, he's like, "Well, shit. I can't lock this door, and if I don't do nothing, then I'm just going to sit here and wait to die."
What exactly, because I don't know the full story, is how did he stop the shooting? I heard he grabbed.
The dude paused because he was about to change the clip.
Okay.
So he heard, when the dude said he heard the stop of the shooting, He was peeping out, waiting for his chance, and when he heard that when the dude stopped shooting, that's when he just bolted out, ran fast as he could at him,
tackled him.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, because I didn't know. I'd heard one thing where he grabbed the barrel of the gun.
Yeah, he did. After he tackled him, he was trying to wrestle the gun away from him. He grabbed the barrel, which, you know, burnt his hand.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Shit like that. But you know, either way, when you're in life or death, you could be drunk or high, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And you don't want to die today.
Right.
It don't matter what your inspiration
was.
Know,
yeah, that's what the inspiration is. You're trying to live. Well, shout out to that man. He's a hero. Do you know his name?
I don't.
All right. Well, shout out to the Waffle House hero. We know who you are.
No doubt. He's hashtagged and tagged up on the social media.
And then the Waffle House hater, at the same time, there was a black woman fucking forcefully arrested, thrown to the floor, all types of crazy shit. I don't know if there's a video. I didn't watch the video.
Yeah, there's a video, and it's supposed to be over, you know, them trying to charge her 50 cents.
For utensils.
For knives and forks. Like, yeah, what the fuck they do that at?
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know,
so this is where we get into this thing, though. This is the question. Like you said, Waffle House is part of the culture, right? The culture kind of built Waffle House at a certain level. Or no, at least in our culture, the Waffle House is a diner. It's been doing its thing, but it became the place to go to after the party. I remember in Atlanta, the little Waffle House on North Avenue, and you know the shit was crazy, and it was the spot.
The original used to be the IHOP over like downtown, like on Juniper or somewhere over there.
Okay,
right off of Ponce.
Right. Maybe that is that. That's what I'm thinking of. I might be thinking of the IHOP on
IHOP was the original Waffle House after the club, and then when that faded and shut down, then it was all bets went to Waffle House.
Right, because this is the thing. My question is, Like, we seeing Starbucks and we seeing Waffle House, right? And these managers, obviously, they have a problem with profiling or rushing to conclusions, right? But at the other side of that, they are the people that activate the police, but then there's also the policing that is way out of hand. You cuffing motherfuckers for loitering in a Starbucks or staying too long at a Starbucks. You throwing this woman on the floor because she want 50 cents or she wants utensils that shouldn't cost anything if I just bought something to eat. Like, it's 0 to 60. It's no consideration for the people. And it's weird because it's like, well, who do we put the burden on? Now, what does Waffle House need to do to rectify the situation? Does Waffle House need to recognize the people that come to the spot and say, yo, we don't endorse this type of shit? Like, what would you do if you were on the board of directors over at Waffle House? How would you handle these situations that just happened?
Definitely there's some type of discourse on, you know, the people who actually support Waffle House and that we want to continue to support Waffle House. There's definitely, we do understand the constituents and the people who we serve across this country 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter what. And what we'd like to say is our hearts goes out to the victims.
As well as,
you know, we need to look at what goes on in our restaurants in these late hours of the night and see what we can do to make sure that the environment is safe and healthy for all of our customers. And in the case of the police and what happened in Alabama, we're definitely going to investigate and see what the impetus was for such a violent reaction. And, you know, and furthermore, you know, again, Waffle House is a safe place. And we've been doing this for many years, and we hope to continue to see each and every one of you at our establishments whenever, you know, there's need for food. That's what we're here to do.
That was pretty good. Hey, you got wild corporate, wild legalese. I like that. The shareholders are like, okay, this Muhammad guy's doing
that.
Right.
You got to do that. You got to do that right off the rip.
Right.
So you can see what happens, because, you know what I'm saying? You know that shit get crazy out when motherfuckers coming out at 2 o'clock in the morning. They're drunk as fuck.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like I said, like, during that is like the show after the show. Like,
yeah.
You know, I've seen people coming in the Waffle House, in the IHOP and Waffle House, shit like that, butt naked fighting. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just always, you got that. A lot of times you either there soaking up the alcohol, getting some food on your belly because you've been out so long, or you in that little hybrid moment of trying to see if you can close the deal with whoever you just met.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's a little easy place you can conversate for a few and eat some cheese eggs, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But again, you always on that edge of something happening because it gets crowded. Motherfuckers is loud. Nobody take more shit than a New York Chinese restaurant worker and a Waffle House employee during club hours. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's when you're getting the most cussed out. You getting the most shit talked. And, you know what I'm saying? A lot of...
Or Uber driver. Uber driver's catching the brunt of that shit, too.
Yeah, see, I've never been experienced it. You know, so you can't witness it because it's a one-on-one situation.
Right.
Like, but I've witnessed all that shit at a Waffle House. Yeah. Like, yo, late night out of the club, shit get kind of crazy, you know?
And they often, I know for sure at the North Avenue, I don't know if it was the IHOP or the Waffle House, they for sure have the highest of, like, they have Red Dog cops. Like, they had the real deal, you know what I mean? Cause, like, cause yeah.
Shit happens.
Yeah.
Shit
happens at the Waffle House. They have the 0 to 60s on deck.
Yeah, they'd be, you know what I'm saying? I don't know why they would be slamming. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how many incidents they had to go through till they get to a point where they breaking the chick arm for some damn knives and forks and shit. But
did they break her arm?
Nah, he threatened to. He just he's like, "What are you doing? He's like, I'm gonna break your arm. That's what I'm doing."
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, he gotta go.
you know that
he gotta
that,
go. That, he can't.
Alabama officer and shit.
Yeah, that's bananas.
You know what I'm saying? So, But, you know, shit get crazy. And you have to, one, protect your brand and your workers and the people who come to your spot. But at the same time, you know, you got to be mindful of how you do that.
Yep.
Because yeah. In this scenario right now, if you Waffle House, you in a crisis. You know what I'm saying? You got one time, one thing was somebody come in and attack the place, and then another where the police come in and attack your customers. So if people can't feel safe there, and on either side, as a, just a regular customer or as a black person while trying to get utensils, then you in that's a sticky situation. I don't know if you just ignore it because your customer base in your eyes is not important, but it seems that you should be making some type of move towards assuring your customer base that
appeasing them, making them know they valued.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it seems like, you know, Waffle House, you know, was such a lowbrow adventure.
Right.
You know what I mean? You go there, you know, the workers ain't got no teeth.
Right.
I actually went to a Waffle House. They had some cute workers in there. So I ain't going to say all Waffle House workers ain't got no teeth.
There you go.
But, you know what I'm saying?
Retraction.
It's retraction. You go there, you know what I'm saying? It's late at night. You got two people in there. That's a hard job. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what it would be to be a waitress at the Waffle House on some lonely highway at 4 a.m. that people come to after the club.
Drunk motherfuckers too. You got to put that in there. That's crazy.
Like, I don't know what it would be. It's almost like being a sitting duck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's up there with working 7-Eleven overnight.
Right. You're just waiting for the bullshit. It's like being a substitute teacher. Just waiting for the bullshit. Here we go. You're just looking at the clock, waiting for the shoe to fall. Like, when is the bullshit going to happen? Will I be able to go home? Or it's going to be some bullshit?
What is going to happen tonight? Who the fuck coming in here tonight?
Right. Okay. So you're already coming in with a different disposition. You're on guard.
Exactly.
This motherfucker.
Like, I don't know what that means to work under those kind of conditions where you know that shit coming.
Yeah. That's crazy.
You're getting the worst of a motherfucker at the end of the night.
Yeah, right? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's the all the way worst. And you got to take orders. That's your job to take orders. Right. So orders are going to be coming so...
The orders have become orders.
Orders. And I'm ordering the fuck out of you over this little $20 I'm about to spend on your ass.
This little $2 tip I'm about to
do. Man. Yeah. It's always a fight about to break out at the Waffle House.
That is a continuous that shit has its own life. The fight just come rolling in.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, man.
That's what it is.
What else? Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here, man?
Meek Mill home, I guess.
Oh, right, man. We did. Shout out to Meek Mill making it home. They freed Meek. The prayers. That man is out.
I know that motherfucker is at the house checking his accounts like, man, God.
Yeah.
How much money did I miss?
Yeah.
Let's get to it.
Getting all these emails. How soon do we hear something?
You know what I'm saying?
What's your bet? What's the over or under? Do we hear from Meek musically within the next 7 days or no?
How slow he has been to respond to shit. I would give him a 2 week.
You giving him a 2 week? You give him a 2 week because he's been. But that was what he was on. That was when he was on tour. He was in jail for a while.
I think right now he might go drop some shit.
Right.
But he's going to be very concerned with getting to these bags that's about to open up for him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, every promoter in the game want a Meek Mill show right now.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely the welcome back bag. It's all welcome back Meek Mill tour is going on all over the motherfucking 50 states.
So I would say if he gets a beat he loves and he drops a first that he loves,
right,
then I think there will be new music.
Yeah.
But I think the motherfucker will be preoccupied with getting to the bag that his, you know, his approval process might be take a little longer.
Hmm. We'll see. We'll see. I'm hoping we'll hear something in 7 days. I'm hoping we'll hear something in 7 days. I hope he got something, man. It feels like, you know, the people want to hear from that man. I mean, I know he tweeted and all of that, but I think that Meek Mill energy is missing. You know what I mean?
I think he could take his, he could go to a new tax bracket.
Oh yeah.
If he do this come home to a right. If he do it like Gucci would do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He can move himself into another whole another space.
Uh-huh.
Then, you know, you gotta keep coming with something.
Right.
To keep pushing that, you know what I mean? It's like say Rihanna, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm not comparing Meek Mill to Rihanna.
Okay.
But what Rihanna is great at doing is keeping people's attention day in and day out, you know. Every day she got something for the people, you mm-hmm. know. That's one of her talents. Like, same with Drake. They have a talent for working with this new media and, you know what I'm saying, social media type shit. They have a talent for keeping the energy around their spectrum. Meek don't necessarily have that same thing, but I think in this next phase of what he's going through, I think he's going to have to either drop music. He's going to have to keep that intention up after him being home wears off. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right. So if he's going to do it strictly through music, then he needs to be dropping that shit. You know what I'm saying? He got to keep a spectacle. Because they waiting on him. Everybody's looking. All eyes on him like Pop.
Yeah. I feel like he got to put something out just for the fact the people were, people were out there. They were out in mass for Meek. There was a lot. There was a lot of mobilization for that. Plus, I feel like Philly's been having a hellified 2018 between the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, Villanova winning the Final Four, fucking the Sixers looking like they might be able to come out the East. Like, it looked good for Philly right now. And Meek just got home. It's a good time for a motherfucker to send him some beats and say,
I mean, I think them beats probably already
them
been
shits is all through the beats and bookings. That's the new beats. Email. Beats and bookings at Gmail.
Exactly.
At Meek Mill.
Mm-hmm. Shit, because the bag is waiting. I mean, his price could be sky high right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a good look.
Yeah.
It's a great look.
Anyway.
Hopefully they don't squander it.
Nah, I hope so. I hope he be all right, man. Anyway, where you going to be at this week, man? Let the people know.
Man, I'm running around BK with HBO, doing some HBO boxing stuff leading up to the Daniel Jacobs fight Saturday at the Barclays. So we'll be running around with that. And then, shit, after that, I'll be back here in the conversation. But you can check me out on Instagram at Mr. Muhammad, Twitter the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, till next week, y'all, appreciate you.
That's what it is. I'll be at Stand Up New York Friday the 27th on the 10 o'clock show. Come through, check that out. I'll be at Stand Up New York on the 8 o'clock show on Tuesday, May 1st. And then, like I said, we coming back May 2nd. Comedy Knockouts coming back Wednesday, May 2nd, 11 p.m. on True TV. And I'll be at the Syracuse Funny Bone May 24th through the 27th. Tickets are on sale now. Get your tickets now. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yeah.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.